Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Bechoros Daf Chaf Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Eimer, Behemo Gasa. You have a heavy animal, cattle, a cow, who miscarried, Sheshofa, who discharged Chareras Dam. So Chareras Dam is a clump of blood-looking substance, which in reality was a fetus that failed, that dissolved, and got compressed into this blood clot looking entity. Halachically, this is regarded like a birthing experience, in which case it will now exempt her, it will make her putter, so that the next birth will not be considered her first, and the offspring will not have Bechor status. Harizu to cover. So this material has to be buried. Now, seemingly it's because it has the kedusha of a bechor, but it's not so, as the Gemara will explain. Tosis explains it has no kedusha as bechor because most likely it didn't qualify. Because percentage-wise, most offspring don't have kedushas bechor. You have 50% female, and even amongst them, you have something called nidme, where the offspring in its appearance is dissimilar to the mother animal, in which case it's also exempt from bechor. So, for the most part, you have to assume that really this does not have bechor status. Technically, there's no reason to bury it. It has no kedusha, but there's the reason why we bury it, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is to publicize the fact that this experience ever occurred, which will justify, which will explain why the next time she gives birth, it is not considered her first. Okay, so that's the point of burying it, uptur ben abachir, and you know, the subsequent births are not considered her first and don't have the status of bachir. Because this experience, despite not really being a very successful birthing experience, nevertheless, has a status of a Leida, and she's passed her first. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Eino Matama Le B'mag Le B'masa. You should know this material, despite it containing some sort of fetus, some sort of offspring, in its lifeless form, which you would think now transmits Tumah by way of touching or carrying it. It's like an avela. No, there's no tumah being generated at all. Ask the Gemara, how could we have it both ways? On the one hand, it's a birth. Apparently it has offspring status. And in fact, we bury it. But then it has no tumah. But then it's considered like she gave birth or she's potter from... How do you reconcile all these different elements? If it has no tumah at all, am I to cover? Why bury it? If there's no vlad, there's no burial. We turn to the next amud. Halachically speaking, it doesn't have kedushas bechor because, as we said, percentage-wise, it's most likely not going to have bechor status. Female nidme, right? And the reason why we bury it, k'dei lefarsimo, shniftar min habechira, to publicize this matter, to publicize this event, that we consider it to be a vlad, halachically it's considered an offspring, and this was considered having given birth, in which case, the next time she's exempt from habechira. Ask the Gemara, okay, fine, so either way you're agreeing that it's considered a vlad, lememra, the vlad malyuhu, so it's considered a proper vlad. Halachically, this is an offspring, so then why is there no tumah? How could you? You're right. It is considered a vlad, but it's batal barayv. Because once it gets liquefied and dissolved, it gets mixed into other liquids surrounding it, embryonic liquids which nullify, which are mevatal by their sheer quantity. It's mevatal, this material of Tumah. Interestingly, there's bittul regarding Tumah. Right, until now we speak a lot about forbidden materials being bottle baroi, being bottle b'shishim. Here comes a new concept. Material which contains Tumah, which carries Tumah, can be bottle baroi as well, which obliterates the which nullifies the Tumah status. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'shum bittul baroi. It's on account of the nullification. In the majority liquid surrounding it, no goba, they apply to it, so they treat it like something which is bottle, and therefore no Tumah. So on the one hand, it is a leida with respect to bechor, meaning that the next leida is not a bechor. On the other hand, it has no kedusha as bechor, because most likely it didn't qualify as a, it wasn't a male, and also it's not going to have a tumah because of bittul baroiv. V'oz the Rabbi Yochanan tamei, Rabbi Yochanan, who provided this explanation into Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's case in the Mishnah, that in fact it's batal baroiv, and that explains why there's no tumah, right? As Rabbi explained the Mishnah, is in line with another shita, who likewise applies the rule of bittul baroiv regarding the tumah of the fetus. Vaza Rabbi Yochanan tamei. Rabbi Yochanan is following, is consistent with what he said elsewhere. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who applies bittul baroiv in our Mishnah regarding our case. V'Rabbi Shimon, and likewise Rabbi Shimon, Amr Dav Recha, they're both on the same track. They both consider the failed miscarriage as being tahar material due to bittul baroiv. So firstly, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Adamar, as we just explained, Rabbi Shimon Ma'i, where is that? It's not Nasholi Babai, it's a woman. Discharges this embryonic sac in this room, and the unborn fetus is lifeless, and certainly will give off tumah, should give off tumah, like a person who died, right? So anything in the home, Habai is tumah. Loisha shul yivlad, not because the actual sac has a status of an offspring and is a generator of tumah. No, elishain shul yivlad vlad. It's because within the shulya, we assume there is no shulya without a vlad within it. So although it dissolved, it got liquefied, but nevertheless it has tumah and spreads it throughout the house. Rabbi Shimon Amar, no, there's no tumah at all being generated because vlad nimoik ashalayat. So we assume the vlad dissolved before he left the mother, in which case becomes batal baroiv with the surrounding liquids, which nullifies its tumah status. Nahas. So we have a Mishnah in Maseches Alos on a similar topic. Ein l'nefalim psichas hakever. So the psichas hakever here refers to the opening of the womb. So if the unborn child died within the mother, it generates tumah, provided there's an opening for that tumah to leave the mother into the house. As opposed to when things are still closed up in the mother, it's a contained tumah. And the actually there's no tumah at all, because it's within the mother and there's a, it's not considered a tummy entity at this point, but once it starts emerging, once there's an opening for it to come out, it is considered like it's exposed to the outside world, and it sends the tumah out to the surrounding area. So once there's a psichas hakever, it's a term referring to the womb opening up, the tumah that's activated emerges and it exports to the surrounding. But there's a minimum size in terms of the head, the head size of the unborn child, for this to be considered a leida, a birthing experience. So if it's significantly sized, the unborn fetus, then in fact this opening up of the mother is considered an emergence and an act of leida which spreads a tumor. What is the minimum size of the head of the nafel of this miscarried entity? We only apply psichas hakever to a nafel if its head is large enough to qualify to be considered an act of leida, like he experienced leida because he has chashivas. Ad sheyagidlu, it's a lashon of circle, right? Eagle, roish, the head of the offspring is large enough kepika shaltsema, like the ball on top of a spool on which they wrap the threads. So that's how big it has to be. My kepika, what pika are we talking about? Amar Rav Huna kepika shaltsemer, the spool of the wool threads. Amar le chia bar Rav Rav Huna, Rabbi, explain to me. There are two threads. There's the chassis, the horizontal threads in the loom, which are thinner than the Erev. The vertical ones, and the Erev are the horizontals, and the chassis is thinner. In which case, the equipment is smaller in size. So which spool are we talking about? Rabbi Parsh, explain, please. Shall chassis, the ball on top of the chassis spool, shall Erev, or the Erev? I'm really telling you, have a braisa, that it's actually a machlokes. Pika shal chassis, that is divrei Rav Meir, Rabbi Doimer shal Erev. Rav Lezer Tzedek Omer, he provides a different formula in terms of what's considered a psichas akever, the opening of the system. Rav Lezer Tzedek Omer, it's unrelated to the size of the infant. Mishi yirou tefifios. If it opens up wide enough that you notice the tfifios in the opening of the other womb. My tfifios, what exactly is that? As follows. Mishalem, they used to explain, like a mule, which kneels, to shed its wastewater, that's the way you would do it. You see within her a circle within a circle, so that's considered open enough. Likewise, in our case. Shamati, I heard, I was taught, shtei pikos, that there are two halachis regarding this pika, this ball on top of the spool, and one relates to the chassis thread, one to the air thread, which is bigger. Two halachis pertaining one to each. Shamati shtei pikos, I heard halachis, I was taught. Halach is regarding both sizes, achash al shesi, one of the shesi, the smaller one, vachshalev, one the bigger one of the erev and the farsh, and I'm not really sure how to explain what applies to what. Because Rav Dimi, when he came, Amar Biechen, called Rav Biechen, actually it's three different sizes. Sholish pikois, shamati, I heard about three, achash al shesi, one of the shesi, vachshalev, one of the erev, achash al pika, gdil shesakoy, and a third one, the even larger size pika pertaining to the threads they used to sew up the sacks, which have bigger threads, in which case the equipment is even bigger. In Lefarish, and I'm not sure how to explain what applies to what. Kiyosu Rav. Okay, so finally when Ravin came, he quoted Rabbi Yechon and he explained each one for what it is. Pirshim Shmid Rabbi Yechon. He says like this, Shal Isha Kishal Shasi. Speaking of the opening of the woman's womb regarding her birthing experience, that is contingent on the chassis. So if the head of the infant is like the chassis thing, then it qualifies. Shal behema, regarding birthing of a behema, regarding her halachis, kishal erev, that is corresponding to the spool on the erev. And the third size, pika shal gdol shakoyin, that applies to a totally different law. The sanias will have a brice, a gush, a clump of earth, habam beres pras, which was imported from a beres pras, which is a field in which they plowed over a grave, so that whole field is tamei midrabanan. So some dirt from that field, which was brought over here, umeretz amim, or dirt from the lands outside Eretz Yisrael, which also contained tumah midrabanan. Shiuroi kefika gdil shel sakoin. So if this clump of earth matches the size of the big pika that's used for the threads of the sakoin, then the Chacham applied a tumah to that clump of earth. It's as though you're sitting actually in the field or sitting outside Eretz Yisrael. You've imported that tumah, but smaller than that doesn't have significance enough, and it does not contain the tumah. So again, the size is kefika gdol shel sakoin, that the large pika used for the sakoin, shu'u chayzim matzufin, which corresponds to another phenomena. It's the chosen, that's the stamp that they stamp on the big sacks of merchandise. So it's a big stamp of you know, they used to use like clay, whatever. So that's the has a similar same type of size. V'yeshnoi, and this type of size is found elsewhere as well. Betzad ha'elyoin, so that's sort of a feature which is a top. On the top of the cap, the barrel cap, shel mukufas, the cap of the chavis of the barrels, halachmes, the lachmes barrel. What does lachmes barrel mean? So that's the barrels that are made in Beis Lechem, halachmes. So you have three things to compare it to: the fikah gedol shel sakoin, the chosen ha'tzufin, and the top of the barrel there. They all have the same size, and this halacha applies to the tumah of Beis HaPras and Eretz HaAmen. Okay, so conclusion. What's considered the initiation of the birthing experience regarding a woman? Pika shel shesi, if the infant, his head measures that size. By behema, it's kishel erev, and by the gush of Beis HaPras, Eretz HaAmen, that's the larger size. Amar Rish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. He has a brand new halacha. Rish Lakish quoting Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who actually was not the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who composed the Mishnayos. It was the Amora Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, which is just mentioned many times in Shas, a later descendant. In any case, the quote is like this: Halakeach Tzir Mi'amoritz. So in the olden days, they had the fellows that were classified as Amehorets. They were not very learned and they weren't very meticulous in matters of purity, matters of Tumah v'Tahara. So you buy from them, you have to be concerned that perhaps your material is Tameh. So if you're careful with Tahara, you have to be aware that their material may not be Tahar. So a person buys Tzir, which is fish brine, fish juice. And it was known that the Amehoretz would stretch it. They would dilute it with some water, more later says up until 50%. So, you know, this tzir is comprised partly of fish juice, which is immune to tumah. Rashi says it's just zeh ba'alma, it's like sweat off the fish. It doesn't have true food or liquid status. So even if you touch it with tumah, it does not accept tumah. There's no issue of tumah there. So you can feel comfortable freely buying it from the Amorites. Problem is, not the tzir element per se, it's the water within it. Water is mekabel tumah. So what do we do? Halakeach tzir mi'amoritz. Very simple solution. Mashika b'mayim v'tar. You take this mix, you go down to your local mikveh, and you tap it to the mikveh, you connect. Mashika is lashon hashak, like a kiss. You make contact with the mikveh water. So, and Rashi explains, by the way, there's no concept of being tovel food or drink that are tummy. That's the thing. It's only by people or by utensils that you could be tovel and make them tor. So what's going on with the hashok? Rashi says it's unrelated to tevila. It's not like you're immersing it and nullifying it. No. It's not an act of tahara. It's an act of, he says, it's like the Gemara speaks about shesile truma. So you have, you know, plants of truma with truma material growing on them. They became so you replant it in the ground. If you have a vegetable, truma became tummy, replant it. He says the replanting, it's not like a tevila. It's bittul. It's totally nullifying it. It's reincorporating it into the ground. It's becoming part of the surrounding land, you know, environment. So that's why it loses its tumah status. Same with the water that's now being connected to the mikveh. It's not because you're immersing it and maisa tefillah is being purifying it. No, it's because it's like you're planting it back and reconnecting it to the water system. You're nullifying it because you're obliterating its identity. It's now part of the greater body of water. Hence, it loses its status and loses its tumah. So this is an effective means of purifying water. Okay, so he takes this container with fish juice slash water, this mix, does hashak. And it works. Either way. You know why? Either way. The truth is, we don't really know the proportions. How much of this mix is water? How much is fish juice? So either way, you're safe. Because imayaruba ninu, if it's mostly water, kiva de avilu ashaka tarilu, so this has water status. This whole mix now has water status because we determine its status based on its majority element. So it's water, labeled as water. Hashaka is matar of the water. Viruba tsir ninu, on the other hand, if it's mostly comprised of fish juice, in which case hashaka is not going to be an effective method, because fish juice does not connect to water. There's no hashaka there. But remember, tsir lav bar kabula tumuhu. There was never any tumah concerns regarding fish juice. It's not susceptible to tumah. So now we can just ignore the 49% of water within this mix. It's a miut. It's a minority element. Mayik, what's your concern? Mishum hanach miut the mayim? Because of the minor element of water in this mix. Hanach batlu beruba, because batal beroyev. The fish juice takes over. It's classified as fish juice. So even if the water in there is tamei, we don't have to worry about it. It's batal beroyev in the fish juice. But Amar Yirmiyah, here's a big chiddush, says Rabbi Yirmiyah. The tumah of that water is just temporarily offline. It's sort of suspended. It's put on pause. But it can be reawakened if that water will now be increased. The percentage gets increased until it becomes the majority stockholder of this mix. Then it's now reclassified as water and the tumah comes back. Interesting concept. On the one hand, we treat it as bottle, but if you increase its percentage, it becomes a significant player, it can be reawakened. Now you have tummy water on hand. Very big chiddush. Amara b'yirmi leishana, when can he just proceed without concern? Presuming the tummy water is just bottle and the fish juice. Ella litvol ben pita, if he's going to use it to dip his bread, so he's going to leave it as is and not going to add any water. Aval Kadir, he's going to throw it into a soup, add it to his pot, which has other water. So although that water is fine water, it belongs to the Chavar, Talmud Chacham, it's not Tameh, but water meets water, and it teams up with him. And now in this general mix, you have a majority water. Lois, you can't do that, because Matzah Min, because the water within the fish juice finds, it meets up, it encounters Matzah min es mina, material which is similar to him, and now they team up. They join forces. V'neir, and once they become the majority, he wakes him up. He gets reinvigorated. He comes back to life. And now you have a mix comprised majority of water, which has tumah. Interesting concept. Yosef Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi was sitting, coming, Lashmaita, saying over this halacha of Rav Yirmiyah that you can reawaken a nullify tumah. Amalei Abaye, since when? Machi tumah shabatla. Is that so? That a tumah that already was nullified, chozer v'neir, will come back to life and wake up? Amalei says, for sure. Adlai tis b'lacha, you don't agree with me? We have a Mishnah which broadcasts the same halacha. V'atanam, we have a Mishnah. So truma t'meya shenafel l'meya, turns on the base, shenafel l'meya chulun tohirin. You have a pound of truma, which is tummy, inedible, right? Truma t'meya, you can't eat. It was dropped into 100 pounds of ordinary material. So it's bottled, because 100 is bottled. One is bottled in 100. Nevertheless, but machlek is in terms of how to proceed. You see, you know, we want to discourage this type of thing. You know, we don't want people to be mevatel that truma t'meya. We don't want the kahanim to lose their portion. So lezo aymer teirim, you have to pull out a pound of this material, of this mix, and destroy it. You have no gain, you have no benefit. Pull it out, destroy it, tirakiv, let it rot, right? Shani Aymer, because we sort of assume that in fact he sasha nafli sasha also, that this pound that you've now extracted from the mix, you've encountered that same material that fell in. That's where we look at it. We give it that status, we're stringent, and we have to burn it. V'chacham Aymerim, Chum say, look, technically it's tzi'ala, it's bottle. So the pound of truma tmei is bottle. It's just that Rashi says, of course, you have to separate a pound so that the kohanim get their share, or at least pay them off for the value of the truma that they lost. Okay, so we don't treat it like Rav Lezer, like, you know, this exact one is the exact one that fell down. We can't identify it, but nevertheless, you have to forward the kohanim, the value of what they lost. And in terms of the remaining mix, what do you do? But ha'achel nikudim, the fact is you have truma tmeya contained there, so you have to be careful that the truma tmeya doesn't spread its tuma, so you eat it nikudim, dry, in its dry form. You don't allow any proper liquids to come into contact with this flour or whatever, so that it doesn't become susceptible to tuma, and there's no spreading of tuma. Oy kaloya, so you eat it, you know, roasted, or tailor made pears, or you knead the dough with fruit juice, which again does not have tumah capacity. Or to schalakli isis, another option would be to split it into small portions of dough, with each one having less quantity than is required to spread tumah. And you must ensure that each dough does not contain a kebetza amount of that truma tmeya. And the parashim explain what it means like this. So you have 1 pound of truma tmeya dropped into 100 pounds of chulin toirin. So basically, it's one part of 101. You have to ensure that each section, each part of each dough, does not have 101 kibetza, 101 egg quantity worths. And the reason is because if it's a bit less than 101 egg worths, then you know that even if one part of 101 of this new, you know, mini dough is that truma tmeya, right, in proportion to the general mix, which is right. But it's going to be less than a kibetza, and if the even if the tmei material is there in that amount, but if it's less than a kibetza, it's not going to present a tumor concern, because it can only generate and spread tumor, export tumor, if it's kibetza. So you make sure it's smaller, you keep it below that threshold, and you're safe. V'tani ela, we have a brayta which explains on this mishnah. Oysan chur. So this mix, okay, this mix. According to the Chacham, we just explained what you do with it. You eat it, just make sure that there's no tumah spreading around. Fine. But according to Rav Elazar, who instructs us to pull out a pound and presume that that is the same exact material that fell in, Matay Alein, what happens to the rest? Should we just assume the truma tmei is gone and we don't have to reckon with it? Or we still have to account for the possibility that the truma tmeya is stuck in there. We just treat the material that you separate as though it's the truma tmeya. We are strict with it. You have to destroy it. But it can very well be that there's still truma tmeya stuck in there, and you have to treat it accordingly and prevent its spread. Matay alein, so what do you do with the mix? Same exact, like the rabbanon, yachal nekudin, eat it dry, yekloyes, roasted, yishlei peiros, with fruit juice, tachal milisay, so you split it into many doughs, many batters, with less than a kibetza of potential truma tmeya in there. Vashlei kibetza makam echad. Okay. And the question is, in general, why? Why are we even concerned? And why do we have to even treat this mix in a unique way? Dry, roasted, this, that. I mean, look, bittel is bittel. The truma tmeya that fell in there was bittel. It's gone. It's nullified. There's no tuma to speak of. Vamar lamatam. You know what the reason is? Because it could reawaken in the future. We're concerned that it might come to a circumstance where it gets reawakened. Matam gzera, there's a concern. Shema yavi kaf chulin tmei makam achar. This fellow, okay, so he had the pound of truma tmeya dropped into 100 pounds of chulin toirin. Okay, so far but. Fine, no problem. Now, next day, he might encounter another problem. We'll have a kav, another, you know, whatever, pound of ordinary material, chulin, which are tamei. He doesn't like tamei. He wants to eat things tahar. So he's going to go try to free it of its tuma. How? By doing bittel. Taisa says a person really not allowed to do that. Not to go be mevatel chatchila, but he didn't realize, he didn't know. Okay. So how's he going to do it? He says, great, I have this huge, you know, container with this 101 huge amount of perfectly fine material. In his mind, it's perfectly fine because any problematic element was already bottled in there yesterday. She's going to take a kav plus of this mix and take today's problematic issue, today's kav chulin tmein, and connect it to, assuming in his mind he's going to be thinking that he has a majority element of tar. Because in his mind, yesterday's mix is totally taken care of its butt. It's tar. Now I have a kav chulin uchatami. I want to take care of it. I want to relieve it of its tumma. I'm going to find something which can be mevatlet. How? I'm going to go back to that old mix, take out an amount which is a bit more than this kav, connect the two, mix them up, and it's bottle. Now we have all tar. Shem yavit kav chulin tmein makam acher. He might land a kav of chulin tmein from elsewhere and connect it to the kav oid minze, take a kav plus an ounce of yesterday's mix, which he assumes to be tar. Mix them together. So I'll figure if at Lina Beruma I'm going to be vatal today's tamei beroiv and the majority element of tahara. But the thing is, it's not so simple. The kiva and the ikahai mashu. The fact is, the kav plus an ounce of yesterday's mix really contains a small element, one part of 101 of tuma, right? The tuma tamei that was in there, right? Which is still sort of alive in potential. And as soon as he finds some camaraderie, finds some like-minded material, such as today's kav, which is tummy, he's going to reconnect and reawaken. There goes your bit of a rife. So again, Sunday, a pound of tumat meya drops into 100 pounds of chulin tahir. Bat of a rife, great. Monday, he lands a certain amount of chulin tmei. Okay? A kav. He wants to get rid of the tum. What does he do? He goes back to yesterday's mix and takes a kav, which is equal to today's amount, plus a little bit more, so that he has a majority to overwhelm today's kav. But that little bit more represents the percentage of Truma Tmei that was in that mix. And that Truma Tmei is still there playing in the background. And now in that little bit, that extra ounce, which he thinks is going to push it up, tip it over the top, tip the scale and make it Roiv Tar, actually that little bit now encounters this new visitor, this Kav of Tommy material of today, he connects to it and reawakens. And he crosses over to the other team. Crosses lines. So now you don't have Roiv of Tahar anymore. It's either 50-50 or maybe even Roiv Tame. The Kivan Dika Hai Mit Mashu, since he had that little bit of Truma Tameya of yesterday, which is still playing in the background, Matza Minas Minivinir is going to encounter the new arrival of today's Tamei material, wake up, team up with him, and now you don't have Bittul. Okay, so bottom line, from this whole Mishnah, the Brice, what do we see? That even something which was Bittul can come back to life? So, responded Rav Dimi to Abaye, who was surprised about Rav Yirmiyah's halacha, that he can come back to life. Look, you see, he could. Amarli says, how do you compare the two stories? Im tuma reres tuma. Just because in this case, the tuma element of today will reawaken yesterday's tuma. Yeah, it makes sense. Tuma and tuma go hand in hand. I agree. But tahara reres tuma. As opposed to the case of the fish juice. The water element in the fish juice is not encountering something which is tame. You're throwing it into a chicken soup, which has water, but that water is tar. Why would you think that that water will now awaken, will bring back to life a tuma in the water inside the fish juice mix. No, I can't do that. So yeah, tuma can reawaken tuma, but tahara can't awaken tuma. And therefore, I maintain that once that water and the fish juice was batal, you're free to use it, even with other waters. And the tuma will remain dormant. Okay? So in conclusion, we have a miscarriage, chareres dam, discharged by behema. It's considered like a first birth, which now exempts any subsequent births from Bechor. We bury it not because it has Kedushas Bechor, because most likely not going to be halachically a Bechor, most likely it's in a keva or an idna, but we want to publicize the event so that people understand what's going on. There's no tumah, and that's because it's batal b'roiv. We learned about the psichas hakever by the isha, by the behema. We learned about the different types of pikois, shesi, erev, and gedilah shel zakoin regarding three different matters. We have a chiddush regarding the yetzir purchased from the ma'aretz, which is sure to contain an element of water. Not to worry, don't just do hashaka and the mikvah. Either way, you're safe. If the water element is the majority, so hashaka will be effective. If the water element is the minority of the mix, then it's just bottle. But according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, use it carefully, in a manner which will not reawaken that water. Because if it does, it's called matzah min esmina ibn air. Abaye challenged the halacha, although he agreed that tumma or is tumma, such as in the case of the truma mixed into the chulin, but he'll still disagree with tahara or is tumma. Okay, all the best to you, and that's the halacha, Rabbi.